The last time water managers in the Colorado River Basin did a major policy overhaul in 2007, the 29 tribes in the watershed were left out. And Daryl Vigil says it was the same for the big agreement before that and the one before that.
And there's no process at all in the current structure to have inclusivity of tribes in that process.
Vigil leads the Water and Tribes Initiative and handles water issues for the Jicarilla Apache Nation in northern New Mexico. He says for all the talk of consensus building in the watershed, up until now, it's only been among a very narrow group of players. Many other perspectives, he says, are ignored or rejected.
Who's at the existing table? The existing table in terms of policy in the Colorado River truly is controlled by, you know, the basin states and the federal government.
And that has to change, he says, because collectively the tribes hold rights to about 20% of the river's flow.
Why wouldn't you allow, you know, 29 tribes in the basin who've lived sustainably for thousands of years? They might have something that would be of value in terms of how, you know, how we move forward as human beings.
How you set the table has a great deal to do with the outcome of the dinner.
Kathy Jacobs oversees the Center for Climate Adaptation, Science, and Solutions at the University of Arizona. The question of who participates is essential, she says, and has to be answered before the talks begin in earnest. And it's not just tribes who've been excluded in the past. Environmentalists, recreation groups, scientists, and the country of Mexico have also been left out.
The values of the American public and the values of the people in Mexico who are affected are not completely represented by the people who have historically been part of these conversations.
The federal government will play a role in guiding the negotiations, and the new Biden administration has yet to lay out its priorities. So the number of seats at the table is up in the air. So too is the agenda.
There will be huge tension between, you know, is this a time to fix the big picture problems? Or is this an incremental step towards doing that? Or is this just a finger in the dike?
And there are a lot of big picture problems to deal with. Climate change is impacting the river's biggest reservoirs. Later this year, they're expected to hit their lowest levels since they were built. And John Weisheit, the Utah-based director of the environmental nonprofit Living Rivers, says the science is clear. Cities, farmers, and everyone else in the basin needs to use less water.
To just keep doing the same thing over and over again is insanity.
Weisheit points to studies from the 1980s that predicted looming water shortages. Inconvenient science has been tossed aside by water managers in the past, he says. And if leaders don't take climate change seriously this time around, the system is at risk of failure.
So are we going to get smart about this or not? If we don't, then whatever happens, and we don't know when, but it's going to, we deserve it.
With problems piling up, it's understandable why some players are champing at the bit to get the talks started. But University of Nevada, Reno political scientist Elizabeth Cobley says some basic questions still need answers.
I'm not sure that everyone agrees that the system doesn't work in the same way. And I think that that's going to be a really important part of the process.
She says certain factors will play an outsized role in determining how the negotiations play out. If the current drought worsens, those at the table might be more willing to take risks. But one thing is certain, Cobley says. The deadline to finish a new agreement is 5 years from now, and the water supply for 40 million people is on the line. I'm Luke Runyon.